Worship service today. Amen. We're glad that God has allowed us to come and worship. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And we have had a good time, so we're going to go right ahead. There is a word from the Lord I'd like to call your attention to. Now, we're not going to get super deep into this today, but this is the introduction to a series of messages we'll be doing over the next so often. Amen. That means you will not want to miss Bible study either in the midweek. Amen. And you will want to tune in on Sunday because we're ready to go into some deep things. Amen. And so we just want you to be ready for that. So today we're going to get our foot in the door on this subject. We're not going to get like super deep, but we do want you to get your mind tuned in. Amen. To what the Spirit says right now. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead, and it is a blessing from the Lord to be here in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we want to thank God for you. Thank Him for each and every one who is here.
Yeah.
Amen. And we want to move now and take a look at a handout that I had given you earlier. If you didn't get one, you can find it online, of course. Those of you who are tuning in by Facebook or however else you're tuning in today, and you'll find this message, Mysteries of the Church Age. We want to talk about that. Been hearing a lot of talk going on, but we're going to read just a couple of passages to get our foot in the door, and then we'll give you a few points to think about the rest of the day as you go and dine and taste and see that the Lord is good. I know y'all thinking about that already. Amen, because I kind of have my mind on it as well. Amen. That's why I'm glad God included that. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Amen. But let's take a look at Isaiah just to get our foot in the door. Chapter number 54, just the first five verses. And it reads like this. Sing, O barren. Read with me. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not. For thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. That's Isaiah chapter 54, the first five verses. May God bless the reading of the Old Covenant. And now let's read from the New Covenant. And Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 10 to 13. Matthew reads like this in verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Amen. You may be seated in the sanctuary. Just a few words from the Gospel of St. Matthew. May God bless the reading and the hearing of His holy word. Amen. So today's message is the first in a series concerning the revelation that God had a plan to provide His salvation to all people who would receive it by faith, which included his plan to do so through Israel, the covenant people, whom he also miraculously produced through intervention into the life of a childless couple from Ur of the Chaldees, known as Abraham and Sarah. Y'all know that story. For the purpose of delivering Jesus, his seed, to ultimately deal with the curse of sin and death through the sacrifice of himself, in order to bring into reality the things that were concealed in the Bible previously, now known and called mysteries of the church age, which Jesus described to his disciples with the parables of the kingdom. So that's a pretty thick statement there. That's why I decided to write it out and put it on your handout so you can read that a few times. They read it as often as you like until you get an understanding, because it's really, really an all-inclusive statement that talks about the entirety of the Old Testament and what it means, and how it shows you that everything has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ thus far, up to where we are right now in time. But it doesn't tell us what we're going to talk about today, and that is about the mysteries of the church age. And this is something I wondered about when I remember when I first got in the church and got saved back when I was a kid. I was wondering, why are there so many different organizations in the world? Why do they differ so much? That was one of the first questions that came to my mind when I started looking at and considering the entire idea of the church. And you may wonder that. Some of you may wonder, particularly younger people. Sometimes we have a tendency to wonder, how did the church get so divided? How did the world get so divided? Why are there such big differences in the way people see life and things that go on earth? These are the kind of questions that you have. Why are there different churches that teach different things? And they all say they're teaching from the Bible, the majority of them, or many of them, let's say. They say they are teaching from the Bible, say that they're, and they all teach different things. So you wonder about that stuff? Does that stuff ever cross your mind? Why are there certain organizations that people call cults? And why are there different factions of the church that practice rituals and ceremonies and all of that? Why are there different faiths in the world where people believe different things? And you find people saying they believe someone or something else is God or some other religious system. And what is all that? How do we just put all that together? You can see that it's very confusing. It can be a very daunting task and a very deep thing to think about when you think about how it is in the world. And so we're going to get some clarity, though, because we are those who actually believe that what God has written in his word, people would even argue about what I just said. They would say, oh, man wrote the Bible. Yes, he did, but they were superintended. They were divinely appointed and superintended by God, the Holy Spirit, to write everything they said. And that really is what accounts for the flawless nature of God's word, the fact that it fits together perfectly. When you really get an understanding of it. Part of the problem is people who don't believe God are never granted the ability to understand through the Holy Spirit that this has to be a divine work from God. A higher intervention, because it was written by 40 authors over a period of thousands of years, and they were in different places on different continents, and yet they all wrote precisely about Christ, who fits together. He is the missing key from every book in the scripture, from Genesis clear through to Revelation. And so once you get that understanding, there are some things that are given to you that other people do not get. And I just want to make that clear today. That's why Jesus said this. We're going to cut to the chase here. He says in Matthew 13, the disciples wondered the same kind of thing you and I wonder. And they came to him and said, Lord, why do you speak to them in parables? It's already confusing enough. It was confusing back then. 2,000 years ago, there were a lot of factions, religions, organizations that were all set up. Temples, folks going to worship everywhere. Idols of every sort. All kinds of things. It was probably maybe even more strange than it is today. Because we have people today, and I'm sure there were then as well, who outright deny the very existence of God or the fact that Christ even came at all. So you got a lot of this stuff, and you and I need to be able to unscrew that and twist and untangle that kind of thing so we can understand these things about the mysteries of the church age. Now, when I say there are mysteries about the church age, because the church age is a time that was not, even though it was written in the Old Testament, it was not clearly defined what it would look like and how it would be. Now you say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, okay, let's take a look. When Jesus showed up, he is the Messiah. He is the Son of David. It had to happen at a particular time in history. The scripture doesn't give it enough leeway for it to happen or any other time than the time that it happened. First of all, so if you're looking at history, the scripture has a connection to history like no other thing. The Bible is the only book that has a connection to history like that, which is perfectly accurate. In fact, all the encyclopedias and good reference books that are still around, which are becoming fewer and fewer by the day, because people think they've gotten so smart now today that we've gotten away from common sense and common judgment. But it used to be encyclopedias and books of higher learning used the Bible as a reference because of the point-blank accuracy of the scripture. It is extremely accurate in history, and archaeology has revealed that it is perfectly accurate in the places that it is mentioned and all the history that we have. That's why our whole world is centered around Jesus Christ and his first coming. That didn't happen by accident. It happened because people noticed what the scripture said, and it gave a validity to the things that it says. And so time began to be counted by the first advent of Christ, the time that he showed up, which was about 2,021 years ago, as we know today. Our calendar is a testimony to the fact that this is what had happened and how it came about. And so that's not true for anything or anyone else professing to be a religious institution or a religious organization of any sort. Only Jesus Christ. You got a lot of professors, but only one possessor of that role, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can thank God for that. Now, I tell you, a lot of people hate that. You and I love it. We love it because it's an ironclad fact that validates the person and the work and the first coming of Jesus Christ. But there have been 2,021 years since he was born, according to your calendar and according to the Bible, and that's only true of him, no one else. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Some of you people who say something else can get you right. First of all, but we want to talk about why are there so many different views? Why is there such contradiction? Why are there so many confusing things in the world? And the answer is going to just shock you when you really get into this. This is why I say you don't want to miss one session of this. Now, there were a number of prophecies that we can call up to give us information about the coming of Messiah. In fact, all the books of the Bible from Genesis to Malachi have a component of what Christ would do and what he would complete. And so it is God Almighty who has kept the church at the forefront as long as it has been. But I want you to know there is a time also prophesied in the scripture, which is called a time of apostasy, which means the falling away of the church. And I think you and I are up on the heels of that time right now. But there were prophets who wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and I just got one here for you today, which is Isaiah. And we're going to bring up Isaiah, but we'll be talking about others as we go through the parables of the kingdom in the coming days. And I want you to see here that Isaiah prophesies in chapter 54, verse 1. He says here, "Sing, O barren." Barren is a term that refers to a childless woman, a woman who is unable to bear a child. "Thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing. Cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord." Now that's kind of parabolic if you look at it. And we'll be talking about that a little bit more. In other words, a parable, let's define that. That is an earthly story or a situation that has a heavenly meaning or interpretation. It's where I lay this idea alongside of a spiritual idea. An earthly idea is laid alongside a heavenly idea. And the people who trust God and believe him are given the understanding to know what it means. People who do not trust God or believe him do not have the understanding. And it's a riddle to them that can't be unscrambled. And that's because it takes faith. That's why the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is. In other words, I believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you're seeking him diligently, guess what? He's going to infuse you with his power, his knowledge, his wisdom, his understanding. If you don't believe him anyway, he realizes you have a problem And you were kind of a hopeless cause. Because I can't help you if you don't want to be helped. So many people are walking around and they're proud and they think, oh, I don't need anything. I got everything. We've been talking about them a little bit in some of the previous lessons. But the people who, no matter who you are and what you have, if you trust God and you know you need him in your life, like I do, I know I do. I know myself. You know, I know myself like nobody else except God. And I know I need him. I know I need his forgiveness. I know I need his covering. I need his wisdom. I need his guidance. You know what? Everything is his when you think through it. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell in it. So he owns it all. So I decided myself, because he gave me the faith to do so, to trust him, to believe him. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So God says, if you acknowledge me in your ways, I'm going to get in your business, get in your life, and I'm going to straighten out some mess for you while the whole world is trying to confuse you and take you down a path that will not bless you. I'm going to get into your mind, get into your life. I'm going to involve myself in the affairs of your life, and I'm going to work out a Romans 8:28 situation in your life. Now, some of y'all know what that says. If you know what it says, you shout already, even before I say it. Because God says here through Paul, writing to the church in Rome, for we know that God works all things together for them who love God. He works them for good for you and them who are the called according to his purpose. When you're in this world and it's for God's purpose, he's working all things together for good to you who love him and are the called according to his purpose. See, so God has a purpose for you, and it's not that he's the one holding out the unbelievers. It's not for them. He's not holding out because you're an unbeliever. The fact is, you need to trust him. He's God. He gets to set the rules of the game, if you will. You know, if the rules of the game say you got to come a certain way, then me and you have to come that way. And that way is, God says, whosoever believes in me will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And so in order to unscramble the mysteries of this church age, which is the time that began from the time the Jews rejected the Christ, the Messiah, which was accurately predicted by God, he came right on schedule, right when he said he would. He'd given the exact number of days and years that it would take for Messiah the Prince to be revealed. He had spoken and written it in the Word, and when Jesus was manifested in the world, he was begotten in the womb of the Virgin Mary. We would call that the first Christmas, or let's say 9 months before the first Christmas. She was with child by the Holy Ghost. And she had reason to go to Bethlehem because there was a census being taken by Caesar. Caesar called it for all the world to be taxed. Y'all remember that? And we read about that in Luke chapter 2. Chapter 1 on through, let's say 1 and 2. And the fact is, on into Luke 3 is the whole story of the first advent of Christ. And I just said that because notice that in this example, God used a tax collector who was a Caesar. He called for a taxation of all people right at the right time to allow his son to leave from where he was in Mary's womb in Nazareth and travel to Bethlehem where he needed to be in order to be born, according to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Isn't that amazing? And you gave her reason, you gave Joseph reason to get this pregnant woman out of town who was pregnant before she was married. She was engaged, but she was not married yet, and gave her reason to leave and go so she could have the child at the place Micah the prophet had already said that this child who was born to the virgin would be born. So these are the kind of interventions I'm talking about. When you trust God and believe him, God will direct your path. God will change the whole system around your life, everything in this world necessary to make his will come to pass in your life. Isn't that awesome? It don't make no difference if the people who he's affecting believe or they don't. Because you know what? God is looking out for the one who does believe. He's looking for the one who does have faith. He's looking for the one who believes me and trembles at my word. He said, to this one will I look, the one who trembles at my word. You know his word is true. And it puts a shaking in your body because, you know, I must do it. And so God unfolds mysteries to those who believe and trust in him. Now, the word mysteries is not the way it has been corrupted today. Mysteries means, in the case that we're speaking of biblically, that it's something that has to be revealed to you by the Spirit of God. God, the Holy Spirit, has to give you the understanding, the revelation, that this is exactly as God said it is. So when you read something in the Word, trust God. Believe him. Let him know. Even if you don't perceive it in your mind yet, as you read it, talk it over with God. God, I read that and it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't even get it. I don't understand it at all. Y'all say, well, preachers don't have that problem, do they? Yes, they do. The ones that's telling the truth, they do. Now, somebody out there telling you, I know everything and I know all mysteries. Well, watch out for him. But the fact is, if you study, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved, not to the church, not to your members, but unto God. As a workman, there need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, God will show you how to lay the pieces of the scripture together to give you the big picture so you can understand where you need to be. And so mysteries means the unfolding of revelation in God's way of understanding. It's something that's cloaked to people who don't trust God. People who don't believe God, they may never see it. That's why I talked to one guy, I was telling him about Christ. He said, oh yeah, I read the Bible before. I said, oh, you did? I said, well, you know what? I keep reading it over and over. I've been reading it ever since I picked it up. I haven't been able to put it down. And you say you read it, but I see yours is sitting over there covered with dust. You don't get it in one read. This is not a novel by Charles Dickens. This is the Word of Almighty God. You're going to be reading it from now on. This book is going to be opened in eternity, and people will be judged by the things that are written in this book. This is the only thing that will be left when the heavens and earth have been rolled up like a scroll. And you said, oh yes, I've read that. And you put it down. Well, you need to pick it back up, brother, if you want to get right. If you want to go where God wants you to go, pick it up and get right. But anyway, let me get back on track here. Isaiah writes, he says, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Now he's given a description here as he talks about a barren one who did not bear any children. And he's given her reason not to continue in sorrow, not to continue to be burdened with the fact that you have not had a child, you have not born. And he said this because more are the children of the desolate, that's the one who did not bear, than the children of the married wife. And the married wife is a metaphor that refers to Israel, who God had committed himself to Israel. He had promised to protect her, that she would be the one who would bear the seed of Abraham. And we're going to talk about this here. And the seed of Abraham was actually the seed of God, because Abraham had no seed, as you know, as we look at this in the scripture. So Isaiah prophesied that there would be a tremendous growth of believers being saved by God's grace, which would include the Gentiles, so much that the tent, which is a temporary dwelling place, you know that God has always referred to the place of our dwelling here on earth kind of as a tent, it's temporal. Peter even calls your body an earthly tent. He says, when the earthly tent of this body is dissolved, I have another building that eternal in the heavens, made without hands. God has an eternal body for all those who trust and believe in him. But when he first sent the children of Israel revelation, he had them pitch a tabernacle that was portable, that they could move it around and follow him wherever he went. Isn't that true? And we'll talk about that more later. So in other words, this temporary dwelling he speaks of in Isaiah, he says, would need to be expanded even more and more to accommodate the massive influx coming into right standing with Almighty God, which is one of many Old Testament passages that has availed within it the mystery period known as the church age, which Jesus' parables of the kingdom address with more clarity. So we're going to be talking about that. I just wanted to implant that idea in your head today. There's going to be a lot of things that you may not have understood that God will unfold for you and reveal to you so you can get a deeper understanding of why is the world this way? Why is the church this way? Where is it heading? And all of that. You'll get some answers for some things you need to know as we study it. And we're not going to be just hitting it lightly today. Notice what it goes on to say, though. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Have you thought about this for a minute? We'll talk about this because I want you to see. When God says, I'm married to you, Israel, you are my wife. And that's what he says, and I can show you that in Isaiah 2. Isaiah is such a thick book of gospel truth. We're going to really have to take time and break it down, and we don't have time this morning. But I just want to introduce these thoughts to you today. He says, you're going to forget about the fact that I came and you caused me to be put to death. The Son was crucified on a tree. He died. That was Israel's husband who had been promised to him. They died on the tree. And she became a widow because she put to death the son who came that was presented to her right on schedule as God had promised. Notice verse 5 in Isaiah 54 and 5. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Amen. Think about it for a minute. So I came, you didn't love me. You hated me so much, you crucified me. And I died, and you became a widow. So at that point, the gospel, after it had been presented to the Jews first, that's why Jesus told his disciples, do not go to the lost, go first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Don't go in the way of the Gentiles. Why? Because he came to his own, John said. And his own received him not. Then he said, but unto as many as received him, to them he gives the right or the authority or the power to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. So after his own people rejected him by and large, not all of them, but some of them, only a remnant of Israel believed that Jesus is the Christ. But he came to them exactly as he had told them, right on time, right on schedule. And he knew they would spit in his face and crucify him when he came, because he had already written it down before he came. They had the book, they were the keepers of the word, and yet they did exactly what God said they would do. So it was no shock or surprise to God. Folks who are saved get a revelation of this and can believe and trust what God has said. And you're going to grow because you understand where we are in time. And you understand that the church was a period that was prophesied that is now unfolding. And there's a lot of reasons why we have to examine these parables to really get a good understanding. So I want you to see here in Matthew 13 what we did for this morning's installment is to cut to the chase, because after Jesus had taught all these parables, they said, the disciples came and said, Lord, why do you teach them in parables? Why are you speaking in parables? They couldn't get it. And so it says in Matthew 13:10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou to them in parables? They want to know. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. The ones who believe me, you'll get it. You'll understand it. It'll bless your understanding. You will have knowledge. You will grow. The ones who don't, right over their head. See what I'm saying? For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, in other words, if you didn't get it, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. In other words, you're going to suffer a loss because you rejected the truth and you let the knowledge of the truth pass right over you because of unbelief. Verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And they hearing, they hear not. And neither do they understand. You see that? So people can look right at the same thing you see, you get it, you understand it. Why? Because you believe God. And they don't, so they go, well, that's a bunch of hogwash. That's foolishness. Boom, right over their head. So you got to understand this. So this is one of the great mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus' reason for speaking to them in parables was to reveal truth to the believers and to conceal truth from the unbelievers, and to display the character of this mystery period that we call the church age, in which the Gentiles and believing Jews would unite into one body in Christ Jesus. That's the part nobody saw, is that God was always intending also to save the Gentiles, not only the Jews. The Jews were an instrument or vehicle through which he would deliver the Messiah to the world to save whosoever believes in him.
Amen.
See what I mean? They said, oh, we can't get into that. We hate the Gentiles. Well, that's a problem. How about the church if it hates anyone else? That's a problem.
Right.
We're not here to hate anybody.
Amen.
We are here to preach the gospel. We are here to let them know God so loved you because you are in the world. That he gave Jesus his only begotten son, and that whosoever believes in him, that includes you, whoever you are, Jew or Gentile, male or female, any nationality, nation, kindred, tribe, tongue, or people, no matter who you are, there's one way to be right with God. And we preach that and proclaim it with authority, because it is the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. And so I want you to see that. Today, you and I, we want to preach the same thing Jesus preached. First thing he said when he introduced the gospel to the world is repent. What does repent mean? Change doing things the way you think it should be into the way God said it should be. Now, whatever that is, put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? Whatever you think, if it's contrary to what he said, stop it.
Amen.
Turn around. Don't do it anymore. Do it my way. Jesus is the one who said, do it my way, because it's my way or the highway, if you will. You got to turn around. You may not be able to easily do it. But you know what you need to do? Pray. Ask God to strengthen me. Give me the strength to repent, to turn around, to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, to go with what you said and not what everybody else is doing or whatever is on the big party wagon or whatever it is. I'm going to forsake that the best that I can and come to the Lord. So today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart and reject his message of free salvation by grace alone, but rather it is our prayer that you accept and receive the grace of God by faith in Jesus, his only begotten Son, and that you make a declaration that you are a child of the Most High. You should start right there. Amen. Do that while the blood is running warm in your veins. I promise you it's the best decision that you can ever make. It's to believe God and trust and believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. Think about this. Christ is the only one that was mauled and crucified like that. No matter how you got done, when you go to the grave, that's the end for most everyone, isn't it? It's been the end of everybody I knew and loved and I saw go that way. And only one went that way and got up out of the grave, according to the scriptures, after 3 days and nights, and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Got up, defeated the grave. And you know, the interesting thing is he was out of the grave, and the grave was still locked up. The stone was still in place. And they had to go open the tomb to see he was already gone. He didn't have to move the stone to get out. He was Almighty God the Son. He was able to get out, and the stone was still in place with the seal on it. They opened it up, and he is not here, for he is risen. They asked, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. And the guards were laid over there all passed out. We read about that in the New Testament. But I admonish you, I pray right now, whoever you are, if you can hear my voice, do not harden your heart. Believe the good news, Jesus is the Christ, and he will open to you the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Let me pray with you right now before we dismiss. Amen. Eternal God, we praise your name, we bless you, and we thank you today, Father, for your word. And Father, we are looking forward to you unraveling to us the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And Father, we know you will do this. And so we give you praise right now. We're praying for someone who's praying with you now, who trusts in the name of your Son, that you believe that he has raised Jesus from the dead, that you have raised him from the dead, oh God. And we ask that you save our soul right now. Some of us are asking right now, Father, for power to repent, to turn around and do things the way you have said in your word. And Father, we know that by your grace, that we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. So grant us repentance today, Father. Bless us all with the understanding that we need to be able to hold on to Jesus with all of our might, to let everything else not like him, let it go. We bless you now, Father, and give you praise. And we thank you today, Lord, for this understanding. Father, we're looking forward to more understanding. Amen. You may be here and desire a church home or